Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Kiri Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kiri Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the third quarter and 9 months ended of financial year 2023. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement as always. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Manish Kiri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Jay Shirani, Senior Manager of Accounts and Finance, and Mr. Suresh Gandolia, Company Secretary. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Manish Kiri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 months ended financial year 2023. I hope you are all keeping safe and well. During quarter 3 FY23, recessionary trends for dyes and dyes intermediates industries continued, with product takeoff remaining subdued. Since the outbreak of COVID-19 pandemic, with an exception of a few quarters, the industry has experienced very sluggish demand, not allowing industry players to pass on the increase in cost to its customers. Governments and central banks globally have been implementing countermeasures against inflation, but the impact thereon has been gradual. Basic raw materials for dyes, intermediates are benzene, toluene, xylene, naphthalene, etc., which are crude-based materials, which have remained volatile with an upward trend. Due to volatile crude oil prices, this has impacted the margins in dyes intermediate industries negatively. During quarter 3 FY23, Kiri Industries Limited attained consolidated sales revenue of 204 crores, which was lower by 16% on quarter-on-quarter basis and lower by 53% year-on-year basis. In current quarter, EBITDA was 17 crores, net loss was 34 crores. The negative EBITDA on a consolidated basis was due to higher legal cost and on account of low demand, conversion cost not getting fully absorbed and being able to pass on to the customers. Except the higher litigation cost of Singapore cases accounted in quarter 3 FY23, operational expenses have remained under control during quarter 3 FY23 and have remained in line with operational expenses of previous two quarters. The share of profits of associates includes share of profit of Dystar of 88 crores during the quarter, which does not have any impact on the valuation of stake of Kiri in Dystar. The value of Kiri's stake in Dystar is $481 million, which was earlier awarded, plus the amount of patent license fees for wrongfully using patents of Dystar by Longsheng, plus the amount of 19% discount for lack of marketability, which ought to be reversed. Coming to the 9 month numbers, company attained consolidated sales revenue of 723 crores, which was lower by 33% year-on-year basis, and EBITDA loss of 33 crores. Net loss for the 9 months was 87 crores after depreciation. Including the quarter, during this quarter, Kiri attained standalone sales revenue of 133 crores, which was lower by 6% on quarter-on-quarter basis and by 62% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA stood at 30 crores negative. Net loss for the quarter was 36 crores. On a standalone basis, due to sluggish demand and volatile raw material prices, as I explained earlier, the payment cycle has lengthened, inventory churning has decreased. The company anticipates that liquidity will improve in the coming quarters and that the payable cycle will normalize in FY24. Quarter-wise, gross margins saw improvements in quarter 3 FY23 as compared to quarter 2 FY23, but it still surpassed as compared to quarter 2, suppressed as compared to quarter 2 FY23. With flat outlook for margins in quarter 4 FY23, other income includes dividend of 6.86 crore from Longchen Kiri Chemicals Industries Limited. For the 9 months, Kiri earned standalone sales revenue of 445 crore, which was lower by 45% on year-on-year basis, and EBITDA loss was 94 crore. Net loss for the 9 months was 108 crores. In the matter of Dystar, Longchen Group's wholly owned subsidiary, Senda International Capital Limited, appeals have been dismissed earlier during quarter 2 FY23 by the Supreme Court of Singapore, with judgment dated 6 July 2022. Importantly, Kiri has prevailed on the issues in the Supreme Court with regard to 19% discount for lack of marketability and the quantum of notional license fees payable by Longchen to Dystar for its wrongful exploitation of the patents. The Supreme Court had earlier remanded the matter back to Singapore International Commercial Court to give an effect to the decisions and to determine the quantum of notional license fees based on available evidences submitted by both the parties and reversal of discount for lack of marketability. As per the direction of Supreme Court of Singapore, SICC has pronounced its judgment on 8 February 2023, and as per the order, notional license fee now shall be calculated for the period from 31st August 2010 to 23rd March 2019, considering annual production of 53,550 tons by Longchen, which was the quantity misused by Longchen for Dystar's patent, to arrive final valuation of Kiri's stake in Dystar. As per SICC directions, the parties have to submit the agreed final valuation considering notional license fees and 19% DLOM within 21 days from 8 February 2023. Hence, the amount of value of stake of Kiri in Dystar for buyout order execution from Senda shall be increased. Senda's appeal with respect to legal cost judgment of SICC was dismissed by Court of Appeal, the Supreme Court of Singapore, by judgment dated 25 November 2022. Senda failed to make payment of legal costs awarded to Kiri within deadlines which were extended up to 20th January 2023. Hence, Kiri had filed writ of seizure and sale of Senda shares held in Dystar to the extent of recovery of costs awarded by SICC and the Supreme Court of Singapore. Kiri has been monitoring the global dyes market and has been continuously taking steps to mitigate challenging market conditions and reduce cash losses. Markets anticipate improvement in margins in FY24 and beyond after strengthening of demand. The coming quarter four 23, the industry performance and that of the company would possibly not see much change as compared to previous three quarters. With that, I would like to open the floor for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of B. Suresh from Burham's Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Suresh.
hear you. Please go ahead.
Sir, go ahead. Good afternoon, sir. Manish here. I'm Suresh from Oren Financial.
Yes. Yes, Suresh.
Sir, you remember, sir? I lost conference call. Sorry, sir.
Yes, yes. I think last conference call also I remember you asking some questions. Yes, please go ahead.
Sir, actually, Giri last conference call, this conference call is shared by mostly 50%, around 500 to 300.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Suresh. Request you to go off the speakerphone as your audio is not very clear.
Is clear, sir? Please.
Yes, request you to speak much louder a bit.
Is clear, sir?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Suresh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Suresh, please.
Mr. Suresh, can you hear us? It appears Mr. Suresh is no longer in queue. We'll move on to the next question from Mr. Line of Manan Shah from Moneybee Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you're loud and clear.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned that Senda had failed to meet the payment of legal costs. So if you can just quantify what is the amount involved and how much has Kiri spent on the legal proceedings so far?
Well, the amount which was awarded to Kiri for the legal costs was $8.11 million, Singapore dollar. And that is the amount which they failed to honor the court judgment. The cost that Kiri had spent so far since 2015 is much larger number than this, but this is the award which was given to Kiri and which was upheld by the Supreme Court of Singapore. So that was, as I mentioned, by end of November, and Senda didn't honor that order, so then Kiri has taken enforcement actions against Senda on the basis of not paying legal cost.
Right. So if you can just highlight what will be the next process involved in this where we filed a writ for seizure and sale of the Senda share?
I think the next process would be the court would give the appropriate directions to the sheriff of the court to attach their shares and then sell their shares to pay this cost.
Okay, understood. Then secondly, on our notification on the 8th of February, where we announced that SIPC has delivered a further judgment on the valuation. So is this the final part of the legal proceeding or there are further any proceedings that are involved?
No, this is the final part of court's direction, in which court had decided the important number on the quantification of the basis to decide, patent license fee, which was the number which was awaited, and court has already directed to reverse the LOM, and within 21 days the parties will submit the final number to the court. So this would be the final number, and post that, the court will deliver the final judgment on giving the final number. So that may happen maybe a week or 2 weeks from March 1st, which is the deadline to submit this final number from both the parties to the court.
Okay. And once this happens, any timeline for the buyout process and any approximate number that we have calculated, what this number would be?
As we all know, based on the basic calculations, it would be north of $600 million. But the exact number we will come to know when the court announces it. But yes, it would be more than $600 million. And we believe, and what we understand is the amount is due to pay to Kiri to execute the buyout the day the order is announced. So We don't believe that there is any timeline, and we suppose that Senda execute the order. That is what we believe, as soon as it is out.
Okay, but if at all they don't end up paying or there is further delay, so what is the remedy that is available to us? I mean, is there any other way how we can enforce them on executing?
So assuming that Senda is going to default on the buyout, Kiri is going to file all its available enforcement actions against Senda. So there are several actions which Kiri will be doing, which is available legally to Kiri to enforce this order. So all those enforcement actions will start.
Okay, and if you can just highlight what would these measures be?
I think it would not be appropriate for me to mention in a public forum, because
okay,
it would be the part of legal strategy. But be rest assured, you know, that it would be the strictest enforcement actions that we are going to file.
Right, because you know, the value of our company is much, much below than what the sum we've been awarded. So, I mean, is it that investors feel that the recoverability of this amount, I mean, they are not very sure how will we be able to recover this amount?
See, the case has been going on, as you know, since almost more than 8 years.
Right.
We are into ninth year of legal battle.
Mm.
So it's obvious that, you know, the amount is going to come, but there could always be a question mark of when it is going to come, when finally money comes to Kiri's account, right? That is what counts.
Right.
And whatever legal process is to be done, see, till now, the entire legal process was to prove ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get an award or to get a justice, let me put it this way, from the Singapore International Court as well as Singapore Supreme Court on the merits of our, the finality of the number would be there next month in the March, and then only enforcement and recovery will start. So the next phase for the courts is to recover this award and to enforce this award. So that process is going to start now. I don't think that process will take too much time, like years or so, but it would be sooner rather than later, in fact. So we you can see the Singapore records, earlier track records. The Singapore courts on enforcement side have been very strict in the past, and we have confidence that the courts will take appropriate actions.
No, I completely agree, but you know, my question is, because they have failed to make a payment of small sum of $8 million and year, where they are required to pay almost $600 million.
Right, so we have to go by the assumption that if they haven't paid, they do not have intent to pay $8 million, why should they pay $600 million, correct?
Right.
So let us go by the theory that they might not pay $608 million or whatever is the final number. They might not pay it.
Mm.
And then we have to be prepared and ready to file the next steps and take all the necessary actions to enforce so that they can pay.
Understood. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll come back in the queue.
We will have to make them pay. The court will have to make them pay, even though they may not intend to or willing to. And then we would seek support from the court that judgments do not remain paper judgments and the justice is actually delivered. So court, I'm very sure, will look into this aspect.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Weber Bajodia from Honest Integrity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you. So for this award, you know, I just want to understand, the Longsheng Group have any assets in Singapore or they don't have anything apart from the asset in question? So they have anything else in Singapore?
The assets in Singapore is their shares of Dystar. Right, so that is the main asset they have in Singapore. When you talk about any physical asset like plant, machinery and things like that, no, it's not there. And the Singapore entity, which is Dystar Global Holding Singapore, is a holding entity of all Dystar assets globally, correct? So those shares of Dystar Global Health Holding will have the entire Dystar Networks assets. Particularly in Singapore jurisdiction, the asset which they have is Senda shares of Dystar.
Got it. Understand. And secondly, slightly longer term fundamental question. So on the dyes intermediary market, you know, we have seen in last 10, 12 years, there is quite a revolution in the sense that a lot of things have shifted from China to India because of pollution control strictness in China. And then somehow post 2017-18, that incremental flow has slowly reduced. Still, that tailwind is still with us. But do you think going forward, given that the China will be opening up completely sooner rather than later, do you think there is a risk of the competition coming back again in terms of the dye intermediaries like HFC and vinyl sulfone, all this kind of thing? Do you think that there will be price pressure? I'm not talking from a short-term perspective. Obviously, demand is a challenge in short-term. But I'm talking from long-term, 4 or 5 years perspective. Do you see the competition from China coming back in a sustainable manner?
I think very true. Actually, Chinese are also sitting on overcapacity supplies as we speak. And currently, there is a pressure from China, as we all know. The imports into India of intermediates from China are still coming at a lower prices, and in future it is going to remain so. In the next 2 to 3 years, we don't see that pressure is going to go down, unless Chinese domestic textile and domestic industry improves to have enough consumption for the dyes which are produced in China. This pressure is going to continue, in fact. And so one side, you see the pressure from Chinese companies, and one of the main reasons which you rightfully said is that there was a lot of strictness in terms of environment compliances earlier. But somehow our information indicates that post-2019, post-pandemic, they have adopted a lax approach, so they are now less stricter in implementation, and that has also fueled the oversupply, because they wanted to probably help their industries, and because of their soft approach on them, the cost not only reduced from the environment compliance point of view, but also excessive supply has affected prices negatively. And for example, HFC, the prices from China are absolutely lower than the cost of manufacturing in India. And that is across the units. It's the product itself. Similarly, there is another product named metaphylline diamine 3 sulfonic acid. All Indian plants are closed as of today. Entire production has been closed and it is coming from China. So there is a pressure, and also there is a flow which is coming. Now, whether this flow is reduced once Chinese local consumption increases, or this flow continue as it is, will come to know. But yes, I think we have to go by the assumption that the things are going to be challenging from China front.
Right.
Mr. Vilma, we request to kindly come back in the queue for follow-up questions.
Sure.
Thank you. Participants are kindly requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. We have the next question on the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Manishi, thanks for the opportunity. Just want to make sure I understand the kind of this Dystar situation better. So you are saying that the legal fees they haven't paid, they have defaulted on that. $8 million, and then right. There is this $600 million, which is the value of the shares we own in Dystar, and that is in Singapore dollars or U.S. dollars?
That is U.S. dollars.
Okay, U.S. dollars. And then there's a third thing which is related to the patent, and what is that amount?
So the $600 million what we are expecting plus should be the total value that would include the patent license fees. Earlier award was $481 million by SICC, which was given in June 2021. So post appeal proceedings in Supreme Court of Singapore, that 481.6 million is now going to end with increased amount of more than $600 million. I hope I am able to explain to you. And that 600 plus include the patent license fee number in it.
Correct. Which is what, if I remember correctly, you had said something around $500 million in the prior quarter.
Sorry to interrupt you. Mr. Rajesh, your voice is breaking up. Could you go off the speakerphone?
Okay. Is it better now?
It's still very mumbled.
I am now on the handset. Hopefully this is better.
Yes.
Okay. So earlier in the con call, in one of the prior con calls, you had mentioned that figure to be 500. So what I'm hearing is that 500 figure, including the patent settlement, has now become 600 million plus. Is that right?
Yes. From 481.6, like 482, it has become now 600 plus. Correct. You are understanding correctly. So the award has increased.
Right. So my question is that you talked about that these guys are not paying, and how much time will it take to recover that small amount of 8 million Singapore dollars? And to the extent they don't pay it, what can the courts do in Singapore to expedite the recovery? Because if the small amount in dispute is going to hang around for a long time, then the 600 million could potentially also hang around for a very long time. So that's question number one. Question number two, relatedly, the Dystar holding is held in Singapore. Have we made sure that they can't change the ownership of that out of Singapore? And then to the extent, the underlying assets, where are they located? Are they located in China or in other jurisdiction where, you know, perhaps the Singapore court orders may not be respected? So those are the two questions.
So number one question, 8.11 million was confirmed and upheld by Supreme Court on November 25, 2022. So that was the date on which it was announced. After that, 21 days were given to them, which was coming to end somewhere around December 2021. Then 1 month extended, which was around January 20th. And post that, the actions already started. So let us say, over the span of from 20th January till now, it is close to 17 days, and the court is already progressing and proceeding on seizure and sale of their shares of Senda. So you can see the actions were not quite delayed, but it is about couple of months, and the court is already in action.
Okay.
Right.
So,
we also hope that the actions would be taken by the court faster once we also submit the enforcement applications after that, you know, non-payment of 600. So first the 600 plus number has to be announced. After that, we will demand them. They would not pay, then we will go to court and file enforcements.
Understood. And then my other question on the underlying assets of the Dystar, where are the actual assets?
So the shares of Sandav are subjudice shares, as you know. And shares of Kiri are also subjudice shares right now. And the Sandav continue to remain subsidiary of Longshan. And selling Senda shares in such a situation, what we believe would be the fraudulent and criminal act, if that is what is going to happen from their side. We don't know at the moment. But irrespective of that, ultimate remedy would be to sell Dystar, isn't it? Irrespective of who owns it, right? So if non-payment from their side would then result into selling their shares, Kiri shares, you know, for the award, the finality would be selling the Dystar shares and selling the company through the auction. So that is what the court would probably request it to do from our side.
Right. And where are the underlying assets of Dystar?
I just request you to kindly come back in the queue for follow-up questions.
Let me complete this question. He already asked this question. So underlying assets were about 16 plants in 12 countries and close to, I think, if I remember, 26, 27 subsidiaries in almost 22 countries. So it's a large network.
Okay, and then is there a possibility for you to sort of seize the shares of their joint venture with you in India, or that is something you can't enforce?
See, the enforcement will have all options, and very, very good question you asked. So wherever their assets lying, you know, India, outside India, ultimately it's one corporate entity. So if you lift the corporate will, it all boils down to Longsheng, isn't it? Right? These are all the subsidiaries. So when you lift the corporate will and you start enforcement, you would be able to reach out to wherever they are.
Understood. I have more questions, but I will come back in the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashut Koti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, please.
Manish sir, two questions. One is this 53,000 what we have mentioned, or what has been mentioned, 50,000 tons, right?
Yes.
Now, that patent charges would be for how many years?
So they are from 2010 to 2019, so almost for 10 years.
Okay.
And the quantum court has given in the judgment is 53,550 per year.
Right.
That means that this much quantity of products which Longsheng produced and sold misusing Dystar patent.
Correct? That means 53,550 is every year.
Every year, per year. So,
right.
So considering that quantity every year from 2010 to 2019, there are specific dates to give you. I think covered these dates in my speech though, which was from 31st August 2010 to actually 23 March 2019. So these are the specific dates. The time period is defined.
Right.
And for this much quantity, for each ton, what would be the license fee per each year? That is going to be computed, calculated, and added back for these years. And that would be for Dystar. And 38% of that would be what Kiri would be entitled to and would be added in Kiri's valuation.
Right.
Right. So that's the calculation.
But this 53,550 tons, what is the, is it one product or multiple products?
So there are many products, including...
So the valuation-wise, what would be the value at what price it has been sold, and percentage of that would be as a royalty or a license fee? So
So based on the royalty or license fee for products, There is a model which was used by both the valuers. So there are datas with them. They will use those available data in evidences and then come out with the final number. So there are per ton, per kilo, what should be the license fee, you know, per product. All that is already been defined and already been there in the valuation model. So this would be added to it, and then the calculation would be final after that.
What has been the difference between their figure and our figure?
Their figure earlier was like, if I remember correctly,
I'm talking about only the license fee, sir.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. See, our side, we presented 120,000 ton per year, correct?
Right.
Their amount, there was 19,000, there was less than 3,000 ton per year.
Okay.
So the Cod had two numbers, 3,000 tons per year, 120,000 tons per year, and Cod used neither numbers. Cod actually came out based on the existing evidences, a number of 53,000, which is somewhere in the middle.
Right. No, but the value, I mean, say.
Value was ranging from earlier award of 1 million to, for Kiri's part, to $40 million.
From Kiri's side, it was $240 million.
40.
Okay.
So in 1 to 40, it will fall somewhere.
Okay. Right, sir. And, sir,
Mr. Gopi, would you kindly come back in the queue?
I've just completed one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, please. Sir, assuming that Chinese competition is going to increase further on, then what is the way out? And assuming that this money will take some more time, so for us to sustain.
Yeah, we would be able to sustain. If you look at the last quarter, right, our consolidated EBITDA was 16 crore. And our legal fees of last quarter was about 13 crore, right? So we would be able to sustain that. There won't be any issue on that.
Sir, we will not be able to take into consideration consolidated business because till the time that ISA money comes, we can assume that this is our share, but it's not in our hand. So if I have to look at only my operations, that will be domestic operation.
Yeah, I'm not talking into Dystar. I'm talking about the domestic only. Consolidated means that is the Kiri, Longs and Kiri combined together.
But are they giving Longs and Kiri also?
Sorry?
Longs and Kiri, that is Baroda unit you are talking about.
Yeah, which is consolidated, you know, on India.
Yeah, but India operation, they are giving us anything out of that, or there also we have an issue?
No, we are getting from them. We are getting, you know, payments of supplies, dividends, and things like that.
Okay. I'll come in back in a few, sir. Thank you.
We have the next question on the line of Kashyap from Kiri Industries. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hello.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, as you said, the corporate veil, if we see the FPIs, if we lift the corporate veil of the FPIs, three of the largest shareholders of Kiri Industries are named in the Hindenburg report that they are controlled by a single entity called Montrose, which is very close to SEBI and Adani Group. Are you aware of these three large shareholders of Kiri having similar address and similar holdings and overlapping directors holding large amounts of shares in Adani and Kiri?
We are aware the shareholders, you know, who are there with us. And beyond that, we are not aware. So what we are aware is the shareholders who hold our shares and who participates with us. But we don't know beyond that.
Are there any similar overlapping addresses, phone numbers, directors? And have you heard anything from Mentrosa Group or Adani Group? during the trading pattern?
No, we haven't heard anything. Neither we have seen in any overlapping things.
And one more question is that they hold 49% in Kiri, which is much, much higher than promoters, and they are the largest group. What do you think in the future lies if this money comes? Will there be like any takeover or anything of Kiri, and what like the promoters have as a shield against the 49% of the FPI's holding, which is suspicious and listed in the Hindenburg report?
Number one, I don't think anybody holds 49% of Kiri shares to begin with. There's nothing like that.
None of the FPIs, Cresta, Lotus, and LTS Global, they all together, FPIs, it is listed as 49%, right? Shareholding.
Yeah, that is 48%, 49%, but those are all the FIIs together. Everyone who holds Kiri
shares. The Hindenburg report is saying that they are all same entity based out of Mauritius with similar directors, which is Montrose.
We neither have gone into it, nor we are aware of any such details.
No, in future, if they all combine and they come as a hostile takeover, do you have any...
No, we don't have any such threat. I don't see at all.
Okay, and you don't believe they are all the same?
Krishna, could you kindly come back in the queue for follow-up questions? We have the next question on the line of Soumya Kumar from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, a couple of questions my side. Sorry if I'm repeating it and you have already answered it. So on 23rd Jan, you announced that Cinda has failed to make payment on legal costs. So if you could disclose, what was that amount?
You mean the amount of legal costs? This what award?
Yeah.
It was 8.11 million Singapore dollar.
Okay. And so the announcement also states that Kiri filed the writ of seizure from sale over Cinda share in Paystar. So what does this process involve? And is there a chance Kiri will not be able to recover this amount?
I think there are full chances that we would be able to recover this amount. And after our enforcement filing, actions are already in progress as we speak.
So how long will it take, unexpected?
Well, let us see. Actually, you know, the progress and the court is moving faster than we thought. So we hope that in the next few months, we should have some outcome of it.
Okay. And sir, how much Kiri has spent on the legal proceedings so far, and are we expecting to recover that as well?
Well, Kiri had spent much larger than this amount since 2015 till now. But this was the award which was given to Kiri, you know, to recover part of what we had spent. Correct? So, God didn't award the entire amount that Kiri had spent. But out of that, the amount which we spent was much more than 8.11 million since 2015 till now.
Okay. Sir, one more follow-up to this. On 8th February, we announced that SICC has delivered a further judgment on valuation of Dystar share. So, if this 53,000 tons, is this a part of final part of the legal proceeding, or thereafter, Cinda will buy out Kiri share? How is it like?
This is the final. This is the final part of the deciding the final number, correct? So this was the only one pending issue which was reverted to SICC from Supreme Court, and they have delivered judgment on that. With this decision and the DLOM which Supreme Court has already announced to be reversed, if you read the last page of the order, these two amount would be added and the final number would be decided now by the court. So that will be available somewhere, you know, in the beginning or middle of March, because 21 days is given for computation of final number, and submitting to the court. So that is due on March 1st. Suppose that the court is going to decide and give the final number. After that, then the sender will have to pay that amount.
Okay, the final number is not assessed right now.
Not happen now. So it will be somewhere beginning or middle of March. You will have this number, and as soon as that number is available, we'll announce. We'll disclose that number.
So is there any risk that this may not go through, or is there any probability that this may not be, that this deal may not go through? Is there any such risk?
See, Sanda has not paid legal cost. So when they have not paid such a small amount of legal cost, why should we believe that they would pay, $600 million of buyout order, right? So there is a doubt we have. There is a suspicion we have. And we do not have evidences because of they have already defaulted on legal costs. They may default on this one too. So we will have to file enforcements, and we believe that we will have to proceed as soon as possible post final amount is given by the court to take whatever actions we need to take to start enforcement on these awards.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amarchand Goyal, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yes, please.
Hi. Am I audible? Okay. You mentioned about the enforcement thing, but last time you also mentioned about Dystar has about 500, 600 million cash on their accounts. So
yes.
Sendout shouldn't have any issue paying back without even going through the liquidation of those assets.
Right. So Dystar is having enough cash, and also, Dystar is a debt-free company, financially very strong, very healthy. Balance sheet is extremely strong. And so if there is an intention to pay, there is enough financial strength of Dystar to, even from the accumulated profits, to pay Kiri.
Right. And if it case, it has to go through the other route where they have to liquidate through the court proceedings. How long does it take for that to happen? I'm not sure. First of all, is Dystar a publicly listed company or is that a private company?
No, it's a private company. So
right.
It's a private company, and the order is not against Dystar. The order is against the other shareholder of Dystar, which is Sanda. Correct. So court will take actions of not honoring the court order against Sanda, which is the shareholder, majority shareholder, who is directed and to buy our shares. Right? So actions would be taken against Sanda.
What I mean is there's only one asset, which is two majority shareholders, Kiri Industries and Sanda. So,
yes.
So the liquidation has to happen at the Dystar level, where the Dystar
yes.
takes
Very
action
true.
And liquidated to get the money.
Very true. Very true. Very true. And it may take according to court process. Once the court decides to do it, if you look at the cases and the precedences, and it may take between 6 months to a year.
Right. Okay.
So
and sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, if you look at if we try to evaluate the earlier cases and the winding up cases in similar cases in the courts where how long it takes to actually go through the cycle of selling the asset, the selling the company.
Right. And would that be through you mentioned about auction as one option, but would that be like a strategic partner that might get in as a shareholder?
I don't think so. I think it all depends on how court exercises the selling option, and as Dystar is profitable, whether somebody wants to by, you know, the whole company, or it depends on how the sale process proceeds, in fact. And I'm sure court would look into appointing experts to oversee the process, which we believe.
So, and one last final question is, since the judgment was based from 2018, I believe we are not getting any profit, although we have that in the account,
yes,
every quarter in consolidated basis.
Yes, yes.
The remedy of getting those back as well, and the interest amount based on from 2018 when it was set in stone, the date at which the valuation was applied.
Yeah, we tried to get interest from 3rd July 2018. And that was also one of our points in appeal. Unfortunately, court dismissed that point of our appeal and didn't award us interest from 2018. So from 2000, so earlier interest has not been awarded to us. So we are not entitled to get that. Only thing what we are entitled to get would be what we believe currently, based on the judgment still now, would be the buyout amount, the award, and whether Dystar's value today is higher or lesser or whatever it is. I think our liability, what we believe based on legal opinion, has been crystallized. So even if Dystar is sold at 3 billion or 1 billion or whatever amount, we are supposed to get what you know we have right to get. Is the court award amount. That's the amount that we would get. Right.
And what about the profit share since 2018? Would we be able to get that?
No, nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. So in case if the court awards interest now onwards, knowing that they have defaulted, see the situation changes when enforcement starts, where the other party has defaulted and it is because of their fault it has been defaulted, maybe going onwards, in case if the interest is awarded, that would be the additional amount. In case.
Right, okay. Because that's the question every investor has, and that's why, as you can see from the share price, it's not based on consolidated basis, it's based on the standalone.
Yes, and I understand you were right, because the value has not been captured in Kiri shares, and because of this ambiguities, because of not knowing what would eventually happen, because of too long, too many years it has taken. And that, you know, this could be the legitimate reasons for that.
But is it not like a delaying tactic from their side, or are we giving too much attention to like a million dollar side cases where it's just getting delayed by months and months and months? Rather, we should have just taken the money and get it closed ASAP, because it's been quite a lot of time, and it just doesn't give a really good picture about what the company is doing and the actions being taken so far.
Right. So see, the court had this was one of the most complicated cases. If you go through all the judgments that Singapore International and Singapore High Court has ever experienced, one of the most landmark cases also. And the entire trial was bifurcated into two parts. First part was to confirm and to uphold the minority operation, and second part was to value the company. So because the entire legal process happened in two tranches, it took so many years. And now when the enforcement is starting, when the final award amount has come, right, the time frame what we believe could be much, much lower and stricter compared to the time which has taken till now to prove ourselves.
Right, okay. So at
again,
the moment,
from their side, there would always be delaying tactics. From their side, it has been consistent performance by them to delay out, whatever they can. But ultimately, it is up to the court to tolerate how much delay because of, you know, their tactics and not because of the court process.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Namit Mehta from KC Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manish bhai. How are you doing?
Hello, Namit bhai. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Just a few questions from my side. So one is, so I noticed that you have had a dividend from Lonsen Kiri in this quarter. Has anything changed over there? You know, are these the first dividends that we're actually receiving from the company? And what do you expect going forward?
You are talking about from Lonsen Kiri, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Right, I think some senses have prevailed, okay? And I think it has started now. So, looking at the Diestar experience, what happened, probably, you know, they are trying to be doing differently at Lonsen Kiri now, right? So that's why, of course, the dividend was requested by Kiri and approved by the board and then given. So at least there is a beginning there. Yes, you're right.
And what was the quantum received this quarter?
Quantum was 6.86 crore, a small amount.
And when, and do we expect the next dividend from them at end of year?
We hope so, of course. In next financial year, we believe that the practice will continue.
Okay, got it.
We just hope that the amount should be decent. So we'll try to propose and see what finally is agreed to. It's peanuts. It's a small amount compared to the profitability of that company that we have been having since years.
Understood. Second question on the court process. Since filing the written seizure, in the Singapore court, how long do you now expect to get the next court verdict or court, direction with regards to that particular filing? You know, I'm just wondering if somebody is in default of the court here, shouldn't there be a very quick and prompt response from the court in terms of at least withholding the shares or, there has to be some direction going forward there, right?
Absolutely right. And we are seeing, the actions from the court, very swiftly. And thanks to the court that, the moment we filed, they have taken the required actions very timely. So looking at the correspondence with the court, I think, we are hoping that by end of the month, we should have something from them.
Okay, understood. And then the last piece is on promoter ownership. Obviously the share price today is, even lower than it was a few months ago. It looks very strange that, this is not a, should be not be a good time to increase promoter ownership, right? So we've been hearing about potential increases in promoter ownership, but just wanted to get some guidance there as well.
Right. I mean, I would be very much happy and do it. It's about, promoters having enough, funds arrangement to do this. And I also discussed this with you earlier, and still promoters are working on it. So I am not denying, we are very keen as promoters to increase and work in progress is there from family side as we speak.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Harsh Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Kiri. Good to talk to you again.
Yes, Harsh, please go ahead.
I just want to understand, obviously, the holding entities in Singapore, that is Senda, right, which holds Diestar Global. But the actual assets, as you were telling earlier, are in 12 countries, 40 subsidiaries. So if they are clearly of a bad will, let us assume bad intention, and the whole point here is minority oppression, then is it not at least thinkable that they can make the company hollow from inside, that even if the court then decides to auction the holding shares, there is not much market value of it?
Well, the legal case has been going on for 9 years, and to do such kind of activities would be fraudulent and would be damaging on their part. And till end December 2022, nothing that sort has happened. And as you can see the numbers, Dystar has ended up having $166 million of EBITDA by December 2022.
Okay, I mean, I was just wondering because obviously Dystar is not paying any dividends. So ultimately, its accounting is basically what they are saying. Also, of course,
Dystar is not paying dividend because Senda, as a majority shareholder, is operating fully. That's why. It has ability to pay. It can pay. It has
Do you think the results are real? The results are not problematic for for Dystar. Okay. Then also because the Supreme Court has given this final valuation, basically adding back the discount which they had done for the 19%, and now whatever amount they pay for the license fee, they've given it back to SICC. So SICC will now come up with a number.
Right.
And then what can they appeal against, and which court will it be appealed in it, SICC or Supreme Court?
Actually, the SICC is exercising the Supreme Court's decision. So whatever SICC is doing now is to give an effect of Supreme Court decision. So that is actually Supreme Court directives they are working on the appeal. Appeal has already been completed, finished.
So there is no way that the other company, the Chinese company, can actually now appeal the valuation number?
No, we don't think so, because this number is coming out of the appeals court decisions.
Okay, okay. And there was also another small case, SIC 7, a very minor case which had gone against us actually.
Yes.
So how will that be collated, because that might further delay the timeline?
SIC 7 and this both have nothing to do with each other. They have no interconnectivity or relevance or dependency on each other. SIC 7 also got completed in September and judgment was reserved in September in Supreme Court in the appeal. And
yes,
we are waiting for the reserved judgment to come anytime. You know, it may come from the Supreme Court anytime. But that has nothing to do, no relevance with SIC 4.
Okay, and one final question before I pass on is that you were saying this is a landmark case in Singapore jurisprudence, this kind of buyout for minority oppression. And, you know, they are relatively strict even though not very fast always. What precedent is there of an auction of a holding entity? And specifically I want to understand, because if you hold 37% and that is the valuation is now being valued at 481 plus, say, $100 million, etc., then and it is auctioned, the balance amount still goes back to Longsheng's holding company center?
Yes, that's what it can happen, because the Kiri's you know, award is based on the value of Dystar on 3rd July 2018.
Yes.
So that's the award. That's the crystallized liability to pay to Kiri. Now, today, Dystar's value could have been 5 billion or 1 billion. Kiri has nothing to do with it, isn't it?
Okay.
Kiri would get what it is entitled to get, which is a number given by the court after 5 years of exercise of confirming minority operation. So this number has come for the, you know, after the valuation exercise of SICC as well as Supreme Court, and of 5 years, the number has been given by the court. I don't think that number can change.
Okay. So I was just wondering, why are they taking so much risk? Because if they get auctioned and you still get the money, they just
right.
get the remainder.
Right, right. So, well, I don't have that answer, actually. Any rational, shareholder, you know, coming to an end, you know, by losing all the appeal points and entirely dismissal of their stand in the court, and still dishonor the judgment, I mean, then one can face the consequences. But I myself also, not surprised, but find it irrational. And knowing that Dystar is a strong company, was largest dye company, you know, one of the most profitable entity, zero debt, cash rich, and still one wants to dishonor the court's judgment is quite damaging for them, I would say.
Okay, Manishji, thank you so much. Best wishes for the coming quarter. Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Virender Pai from Gunan Singh and Company. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, please.
I have two questions. My first question is, in 2019, you mentioned in the con call that company will be paying regular dividends, but it stopped after 2 years. And my second question is, sir, is there any chance of settlement out of the court with the sender?
Sorry, let me understand your first question. 2019,
yes. The dividend, you mentioned in your on call that the company will be paying dividends to the investors regularly.
You mean Kiri would be paying dividend to its shareholders?
Yes, sir. I'm talking about the Kiri.
Yeah. So if you look at the financials post-COVID, post-2019-2021, and 21-22, you would see that the the ability to pay dividend was not there, and the company started actually losing and for the last 1 year. So because of the financial inability, it couldn't pay dividend on a standalone basis, number one. Number two, your second question was about the settlement out of the court. After 9 years, I don't see such things because court process already completed. Court final number is already coming. We have come to an end of the legal journey and number is crystallized and finalized by the court. There is no room now to do anything, any settlement or anything. It's whatever the court's number, they'll have to either give or dishonor, it's up to them. And then the next actions will follow.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Participants, please note the manager would not take repeat questions. We have the next question on the line of Ashwani Agarwal from Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please. Hello. Yes, Ashwini.
Just wanted to know about the time limit of the latest order. I mean, they've asked us to present the agreed calculations in 21 days.
Correct.
So, like the agreement on the calculation has to be between us and Senda, or how does this work?
See, the way it works is, we will estimate the, and we will calculate the final number, 481 plus patent license fee plus 19% DLOM, and whatever number which comes from Kiri side, correct, or from the valuer side, which will be exchanged with them. And it is pretty simple formula. It was agreed, it was the financial model which was accepted by the court, and by changing those numbers, it will come out with a final number. And that would be exchange between the parties. So Kiri and Senda will exchange, and there is there is nothing different in the arithmetic. There is no, the basis has been given by the court. So hopefully there should not be any differences in the calculation in the arithmetic, because arithmetic is going to just a mathematical addition. So hopefully there won't be any differences. In case if there is any, then both the parties will submit the respective submissions in 21 days, and court will decide accordingly.
All right. So after submitting both our valuation,
when 481.6 million number came in June 2021, it was also an agreed number which was submitted to the court by both the parties.
So that is why court is
following the similar process now, that 481 was an agreed, so this should also be an agreed, because it's just an arithmetic and mathematical calculation.
Mm-hmm. No, my question is, in case say, it is not agreed, then we will both file our different calculations and then the court will decide which one is correct, or will then again be hearings and submissions?
No, then the court will decide. No, nothing like that. The court will give.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the next question line of Manoj Gura from Adinath Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Manoj, good afternoon. And thank you for giving the opportunity.
Yes, please. Thank you.
My question is regarding if auction takes place for Dyestar, whether you will be willing to participate in the auction?
No, we will not. We don't need to. We are the recipient of auction award, so we will not be.
You can't be or you won't be?
No, we won't be. We will not be.
Yeah, we will not be. My next question, in the last conference call, I had asked you a question regarding increasing promoter stake. You had categorically stated that you will be increasing your stake. Don't you think it is the right time?
I strongly believe it's the right time. Because of the lack of funds, we couldn't do it or we are not able to, but we are working on it as a family, yes.
Well, because you will be getting in excess of 5,000 crore rupees, which gets converted to rupees 1,000 per share. And the price of share is 300 rupees.
Of course.
Yeah. It is a very good business proposition for you. Why don't you purchase?
Right. We know that, but as I mentioned, you know, the promoters should have funds, correct? So the funds, how to utilize, and promoters are already in the arrangements in progress currently. But yes, we are very keen and we should be increasing our stake. I fully agree with you. We are in line with your thinking.
Yeah, Manish ji, there are number of high net worth individual in the market who are willing to put their money into any share, provided they are certain of the outcome of the proceeding. It means people are uncertain of the outcome of the proceeding.
And the uncertainty has been there because of the long going legal battle. It is almost 9 years. So naturally, has been there.
Your shares are at almost 3-5 years. Low, and all shareholders are very worried. The share prices fell from around 500 to 250 level in the month of January itself. It's without any apparent logic or apparent reason for that. So you should support your shareholders by buying from the market. You can. You should.
Understand your point, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks to everyone for participating in today's earnings call, and we'll see you next quarter. Thank you very much. All the best wishes. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiri Industries, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.